Everyone, to the fourth episode, the fourth installment of Room Techers. That's our soccer podcast here, affiliated with the Room Temp Show. We're here today. It's a Friday afternoon. Brendan is joining me. Got to leave this weekend. You're heading back to Boston, is that correct?
Yeah, driving back Sunday.
Heading back, so we're getting you guys a little bit earlier today. Last time out, we talked about the U.S. Soccer Federation election. Prime focuses and, you know, what should be, what are the important things, who is worse off if they did not qualify, the U.S. or Italy.
And, I'm still confused, by the way.
And so now we're looking at Italy, who did not qualify. Sweden ended up making it over Italy, and I think it's safe to say that they did not deserve it.
No, not at all.
No.
Not one bit. Daniel De Rossi felt the same way on the bench, yelling at his coach. Very confused as to why you're putting on a defensive maestro when you're down a goal.
Yep.
And literally, you need to score. You have 20 minutes left. Score. Score a goal.
Yeah, De Rossi was sitting on the bench. Coach came over and said, why don't you go warm up? Said, why don't you go warm up, get ready to go in? And De Rossi looked at the coach and said, basically, why the hell should I go in? We shouldn't be settling for a draw. We should be going for the win. And pointing to Insigne,
right next to him on the bench.
Right next to him on the bench, who has been obviously lights out for Napoli this season. Has more assists in Europe than any other player right now. And he ended up getting in, I think, with like 1 minute to go.
Oh no! It was literally the coach being like, "Well, I put him in because he would." I mean, can you imagine if he wasn't in the game at all? Like, it was really just a. It was such an obvious saving face tactic. I don't know what his beef is with Insigne. I'm sure that Italian fans are more aware of a history or anything like that. But
he's nonetheless, he got fired. Italy is out. Sweden's in. One of the last teams to make it through qualifications, as well as Peru. Peru and Denmark. Denmark doing a great job. Christian Eriksen had a hat trick. Against Ireland. Ireland not in the World Cup again. This is two times in the last three World Cups they have not made it.
Yep. Shout out to Thierry Henry.
Hand of God. But looking at that game, you look at a player like Christian Eriksen and you go, wow, like this is why. I think he's rated,
I think
well,
he's
but
appropriately
rated. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, nobody's going to sit here and say that he's a bad player. It's probably been since. I can't remember the last time I've seen him really dominate a game like that. And in his club team, he isn't relied upon to score a hat trick. He's not really in the positions to be banging in three goals. That front three at Tottenham, they don't really need the help. I mean,
they're about as lethal as it gets at Tottenham. But also to note, I was saying this. We're gonna talk about our clubs, which we usually do toward the ending here. But
we're doing pretty good about not really. Talking too much.
Yeah, we're trying to refrain from that bias. But Andreas Christensen is a center back he's a Danish center back, and he also plays at Chelsea. And I think that he is a good example of how the youth system in England can work. I know a lot of times Chelsea and those bigger clubs are known, especially Chelsea, is known for stockpiling these younger players and then just loaning them out for 4 or 5 years until A, they either just like blow out their potential in a good way, or they just kind of sell out, go to a crappy club, and end up leaving. Like how we saw De Bruyne do for a number of years before he came back to Man City. But Christensen's a great example of, he went on loan, I think, for two seasons. He's come back now. He's, I think, 21 years old, and he is playing lights out for Chelsea, and he's playing lights out for Denmark. He was a key player, and he had a goal in that game, too, against Ireland. So
was he the one who subbed in for Luis against Arsenal? Was he
yes.
The kid that they put him?
Yep. He's been playing well this season, and Conte has had a decent amount of faith in him. And I think this is his breakout season, and I think he flew under the radar for a while because of that. But nonetheless,
he's only 21. Center back, like, I mean,
that's huge.
So young.
Yeah.
Like, Varans don't come around often.
No. So it's pretty cool to see, and good for Denmark for making it, and good for Sweden for making it. Both of the teams played as though they deserve to be there more than the other teams, which sucks that we're not going to see either in Ireland or in Italy or in U.S. or in Netherlands in the World Cup this year. But nonetheless, we have our final.
I'm not really worried though. I'm not very worried though.
No.
Looking at these pots, I don't really see a team that shouldn't be there. I mean, obviously, there's teams that you haven't, whose names you're like, oh, really? But
you're like Tunisia, Morocco, Panama, even for that matter, and Saudi Arabia being the lowest seed in this World Cup. And I think one of the cooler stories is in Iran, how they made it through the qualifiers. They're in the third pot this time around, and I think it was like a few years ago they were like one of the lowest rated teams in FIFA. Yeah, so seeing their rise, I guess, to 34, I still don't think they have, I mean, a shot, but that's,
it's just awesome.
Yes,
though. I mean,
it's just so cool. And like we said, pot two is one of the most interesting pots in the World Cup. So the
you
drawing
could flip 2-1, and I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like you're missing a couple names, but that's pretty cool. The drawing for the groups is December 1st. So that's coming up pretty soon, which is really cool. Hopefully, I'm not sure where that lands in regards to where we do our show, but we'll definitely either do a recap or one before.
That might be like a Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I can pull it up while we're talking
might,
here.
Or it might be a Monday.
But nonetheless, you look at the pots that we have right now. At pot two, you have Spain, Peru, Switzerland, England, Colombia, Mexico, Uruguay, and Croatia. Other than
that's just full
yeah.
of team. I mean, aside from Spain and let's say England, those are teams who are like usually considered like dark horses, even though that we know that they have incredibly talented players. They play really good styles of soccer. They've been competitive in either their Euros or their South American version
yeah.
of Euros. What is that called?
Not CONCACAF.
Whatever. Copa de Sudamerica.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. We don't have a stats guy yet.
Not yet.
But I think it's going to be super interesting. This makes it super interesting. And even looking at pot three, you have Denmark, Iceland, Costa Rica, who made the quarterfinals last World Cup.
Yes.
They made the quarterfinals.
Joel Campbell out of nowhere.
Yep. Sweden, Tunisia, Egypt, they're a dark horse team to me to make it to the knockout. Senegal and Iran. And that's pot three. And then in pot four, not for anything, you have Nigeria, who is a fantastic young team. Morocco, who didn't concede a goal in qualifiers. Panama, who actually played pretty well. And a South Korea team could always surprise a win or two. Maybe not two, but maybe a little surprise for a win. They'll be the reason that someone doesn't qualify. So
Somebody on the South Korean team is going to sign a big contract in either England, Spain,
after this World
or
Cup.
Germany after this World Cup.
Yep. So it's really cool because you have the Russian hosts, and then it basically, the first pots, it goes, there's eight groups, obviously, in the World Cup, eight groups of four. Basically, it goes, the first seven ranked teams are in the pot one, and then the hosts, if they're not already that top seven, or eight, sorry. And then after that, it goes eight through whatever the next highest are. It doesn't necessarily go by the highest ranked teams, it goes by your next highest ranking in FIFA. So it's pretty sick to see how these pots have stacked up and how they're going to stack up come time of the actual World Cup.
Yeah. Do three teams advance from some groups in the World Cup? I'm trying to remember. I know if they changed it.
I know that they do
that
for Euros.
I remember I was really upset about it.
They do it for Euros.
Because I was going to say, if that is the case, there's a really good chance that we have some insane matchups in that first round of
the knockouts
with a pot three team versus a pot one, and it's going to be a lot more exciting than what we're used to.
And it's going to be cool to see how these favored teams like Germany, Brazil, Argentina, Portugal, how those teams fare in a tough schedule throughout. Like you could see, we could have a group where it's let's just pick. You could get Germany, Spain, Denmark, and Nigeria in a group. Each of those teams could grab a win very easily. Even though your bottom two teams, like Denmark, could easily grab a win against either Spain or Germany, or a couple draws. You know what I mean? Like those, it's always interesting to see how a team that is favored in those groups fares.
Especially a team like Spain, where I don't really want to call it a transition period because they're still playing incredibly well, but they have this mixture of older players who we've seen since 2008 when they're much younger, they're towards the tail end of their careers, and now they have these younger players like Murata and Isco coming up, and this will probably be the last World Cup that we see Iniesta in.
Yep.
I mean, players PK. Like that, PK, probably not going to be around in four more years. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they've stumbled across this perfect fusion of vets and new talent, and they make a serious run, or if there's a big problem between those two generations, it's like, all right, well, back to the drawing board for Euros.
Yeah. And I do think that this is going to be a cool World Cup to see whatever young talent the coaches end up bringing to. I had made the comment that Germany played with most of their like U21 team in the qualifiers. I don't think that's going to be their final team, but you'll see like a Joshua Kimmich or something like that, like Nicholas Sully, they're all 20 years old.
Somebody's going to have a Müller-esque coming out party in this World Cup, like Müller
Gabriel Jesus
in 2010 when he was just banging goals left and right. You're like, who the hell is this like scrawny 20-year-old that can't stop scoring for Germany?
We'll see if Belgium is actually like this is their World Cup for their hype that has been long building up for what 6 years now.
Injuries permitting, I mean, if that back line's healthy, De Bruyne keeps his form. I don't see how Lukaku. That's going down. Lukaku finally scored. We'll see how that impacts Man United as it's coming back.
But Batshuayi is good for a goal or two too, as either a backup or however they structure it. I don't know what their formation is, but
I mean, he's really getting some minutes at Chelsea this year. He's not coming off the bench with five to go, kind of as a stretch the legs, don't leave for another team yet, please.
And then you got France. France is always France is a dark horse for the semifinals, I think. Not to win, but a semifinals.
I don't know. I mean, they were running through teams in Euros. Running through them. And then that Portugal game was really like a snooze fest. I mean, Nene, I want to say, got the game winner as a sub. Is it him?
Might have been up top. Or Eder. I mean, it might have been Eder.
Well, I know it wasn't Eder. But it was, I mean, it was an awesome win for Portugal. Ronaldo went down like within the first 15 minutes. It was like, oh no. But I think that France is coming into this World Cup thinking that they should be favorites to win.
And they should. Whenever you look at the French team, you think that, wow, they probably should be. I mean, Paul Pogba playing in Saint-Quentin Griezmann, A, should just be enough. But you have Anthony Martial, who's playing lights out this season. When he's on the field, he's a dangerous player. And they have Lacazette.
Mm-hmm.
They have Lacazette.
He's on the field.
Exactly, when he's on the field. So if you play, I don't know what they play, but if you play a front three with Pogba playing into either Lacazette on a wing and Griezmann in the middle with Anthony Martial on the sides.
Benzema.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. Benzema. Like
Varane anchoring that back line.
Yeah. So,
Chelsea's probably in there somewhere.
And Lloris is still playing well. So, yeah, like, exactly. they have a great team.
I can't think of, Matuidi's French.
Yep.
Beast. Juve, of course.
Yep. Pogba, Juve as well. Juve product.
I mean, France must, I mean, it's pretty hard.
Serge Aurier? Oh, no, he's Ivorian. He's Ivorian. Never mind.
But, I mean, it's probably pretty hard to simmer over a defeat to Portugal like that. Unlike a Champions League defeat or, really close cup tie,
right.
FA Cup or something like that, when you're just back at it the next year. This is 2 years later, and hopefully they still maintain that chemistry and that confidence going into the World Cup, because they were a blast to watch in Euros.
Well, they're a fun team to watch in general, I think, and they have a nice combination of physicality, knowing when to like hoof it upfield and play into a forward versus played some tiki-taka around.
That's our
team mascot, Kaiser. Our team mascot, Kaiser, is trying to have fun underneath.
Did we do our World Cup favorites? No, we'll do that later. Far out. But just in conversation, I was mentioning how I really feel like this Brazil... if you gun to my head right now, I think Brazil is winning the World Cup. And you mentioned Gabriel Jesus, already in double digits. You have Neymar basically just having fun on the weekends whenever he's not getting a red card. Midfield is legit. Coutinho is... Watching him play for Brazil is like watching him play his best constantly.
Yep.
It never seems like he has an off game for Brazil. He's back in that kind of 8, not quite a 10 position, and he's deep in the midfield. And him and Neymar somehow are just, for playing with each other 8 times a year, are on a level with each other constantly.
You got Douglas Costa, you got Willian, Marcelo. Did I don't know who that.
Did Alves retire? He might have retired.
He might have retired. Who's they got? And Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva, probably the best center back in the world. Probably.
Yep.
I mean, top three for sure.
William Carvalho is Portuguese. I don't know who else.
Ederson as their goalkeeper.
David Luiz.
Yeah. I mean, huh? What are your thoughts on David Luiz as a Chelsea fan?
He's a head case.
Mm-hmm.
He's good for... What was it? Perfect example was... 2 weeks ago when they had their last Prem game where he had a goal and he was like making runs that he should not have been making, and it paid off okay because I think it's because the Chelsea team and Chelsea players know that that's how he plays. Yeah.
Somebody drops right
yep.
back.
All so
right,
like Gary Cahill does a great job, and it's Billy Cueta does a great job of that. If you play that three David Luiz, you put him in the center on purpose knowing that Billy Cueta and Cahill drop in that middle more often than not. Get the fuck off
just
me.
Just make it a back, make it I mean, just act as if you have two center halves.
Yep.
Those wing backs drop back, and then you just have a crazy
so,
Brazilian runner.
So through Chelsea, it doesn't bother me as much because of that. But I do know that the style of Brazil's play, there are so many players getting up on that Brazilian team already. Like, how many attack-minded players do you have on that Brazilian team?
It baffles me how many born Brazilians get away from that team. Like, skilled Brazilian players, like Jorginho.
Yep.
How did Italy get him?
I don't know.
I mean, he is. I'd imagine that he's been there for a number of years through a club academy.
Yep.
Brazil wasn't calling him up, and
no.
I mean, Italy just played him this year.
Yep. And he played. He was one of
really
the saving.
Well. I guess
yeah.
that was his first appearance,
yeah.
which is even crazier that Brazil waited so long. Like he was. It seems like he was up in the air for
yeah.
an incredibly long time. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong right now, but I'm pretty sure that he was almost in. Your psycho Brazilian striker. Scumbag.
Oh, Diego Costa.
Diego Costa situation where it was, for some reason, we're not going to call you up because reasons, and now you will probably be an anchor in that Italian midfield as they start their rebuilding process.
Yeah, and that is good for the next World Cup and moving forward, that they know in the back of their heads, if unless he switches over out of frustration.
Can't.
Exactly.
Like
so, they got him... They got him on lock now, which is a good thing. So I guess like if there's some sort of consolation you can take, just like you can with the U.S. and then that U17 team playing a decent game against Portugal. Granted, albeit against a C team Portugal, doesn't matter. They played well. So in the back of my mind, I try and think of whatever silver linings I can. And okay, we get this. We got Jorginho for the years to come. Now that's huge. He's a great player. So I don't know. I think the World Cup is going to be. I think it's going to be one of the better World Cups that we've seen in our lifetime. If
it's a World Cup, I'm just excited.
Man. I'm just excited in general.
I'm just excited. Do you think Zlatan comes out of retirement?
It depends on how he plays for the next like month or so, I think.
Well, apparently he's not human. I mean, doctors are... They want him back in the States after he was retired. Be like, dude, we do not understand your tendons. We don't understand your joints. You should not have recovered this quickly. I thought that he wasn't coming. I mean, he's playing this weekend for United.
Yeah, against Newcastle.
I was very much under the impression that he wasn't even an option until after New Year's.
Yeah, I hadn't. This has only been what, like 5 months?
I mean,
maybe.
Nah, he went down sometime in the second half of last year, I want to say.
Yeah.
So probably closer. I mean,
okay.
it's nearly December. Probably like 7 or 8 months after a torn ACL.
What are you doing? And he's probably going to be fine. Like, it's so funny because the Manu also has Pogba back. I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup. Same with Rojo, who is not like, I mean, whatever.
I mean, they've had the whole international, I'm assuming that he's been training the entire international break.
So now the question is, what's your front lineup if you're the coach at Manu? Like, you have...
I don't start Zlatan right away.
No.
Pogba goes right back in that midfield,
yep.
though, if he's healthy.
Yep.
If he's like, yep, I'm good. He goes back in that midfield because that midfield has been listless for the last, 4 weeks, 5 weeks that he's been out? Maybe
yep.
even longer?
Yep.
And then, long term, Zlatan was talking about a number 10 role or some nonsense, but I want to see him playing that position that he's done so well his entire life where He starts up top either as the lone forward or with a partner, and he drops back, he holds it up, he bodies you because it's a physical specimen, he turns and he uses his vision, and then the play immediately builds from him. When you have Lukaku driving the defenders back, you have Pogba making... Pogba now, he's not the guy holding the ball. Nope. He can get more forward, he can get into that attacking third more often. I think that's a long term.
How do you think Zlatan and Lukaku play together? I don't think it'll happen too often, but Mourinho was saying, he's like, reporters were concerned about it, and Mourinho's like, no, great players know how to play with each other.
Yeah, and I don't know, I'd like to think that at this point in his career, nobody's doubting that Zlatan is a good player, and everybody on that team is giving him probably the respect that he deserves. But I think he understands that
Lukaku is the man.
A stud. And if you want to win games, I mean, if you were saying that you think he's going to hit double-digit goals for Zlatan, very possible. But can you imagine if he just ends up feeding Lukaku, ends up with like 15 assists.
Bunch of layoffs.
Back, through balls, layoffs. I mean, that would be awesome. Like, yeah. People would be singing from the hills, oh my God, Zlatan, really, he's found this role. He's still banging in goals when they need it, but he's not stunting the development of this striker that is entering his prime. I think that's what you have to hope for. That's the best case scenario.
I agree. And I think that Zlatan recognizes that. He's not, I don't think his public image and the way that he portrays himself to reporters as this like godlike figure, there's some sort of show to that. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he likes to play the heel.
Yeah, but, which is fine. Well. Which is fine, but that doesn't, I don't think that he is actually jaded by that ego enough that he would actually risk that for the betterment of the team. I think that he's a smart goddamn player, and he's played at all the top. Some people give him shit because he bounced around so much. I don't think so. He averaged like ridiculous goals per game at all the teams that he's played at. He's a good player. And right. I think he just wants to be the every player. So I think that if he's smart, and I think he is, he'll find a way to fall into that system. And I think we'll see a more positive Man U if he's able to do that.
Mkhitaryan has to get dropped for Martial.
I think Martial is so good.
I mean, I don't know what they did with him, but he's broken right now. And
yep.
He can't be starting.
No. He's a great player. But not a starter right now.
He's lost his mojo. And
Martial's playing. You see that goal, the assist that he had to Lacazette in the last qualifier? Filthy. Oh, sorry, not in the last qualifier. They're friendly that they had the other day. Martial is like single-handedly, I don't know who they're playing, so I guess that matters. But he broke like three people's ankles, faked out the goal, and just laid it off for Lacazette.
He's in that Sterling Sané category when he gets the ball. He's like, all right, explosive. How am I getting past you? Hopefully in an embarrassing fashion. And I'm either scoring or somebody else is scoring. And that's what... Mkhitaryan is not that right now.
No.
He's not getting by people. He's not finding the passes. This is why you have depth.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like you're putting out some unproven teenager. We've seen what Martial can do. And you gotta trust in him that he's going to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's not an untrusted teenager, but he's also not old. He's like before, I'd say still before his prime. So he's what, 21 years old maybe?
Yeah.
So you got a couple more years before he really hits it. You see glimpses of the way he plays and you're like, oh. 25
is probably when you really start expecting.
Out of a winger, yeah.
Yeah, I mean 25, that's when you're in your prime and that's when you need to be showing up every week, lighting things up.
And I think that Martial definitely will hit that.
Yeah.
Based off of what we've seen.
He can do that right now.
Yeah.
He has the potential to be an above average player every week.
Yes.
But you can't do that when you're coming off the bench with 20 minutes to go when you're down 1-0 to Chelsea and they have decided to just lock it down.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting dynamic that we see. I think changes in the next like couple months now with Zlatan coming back, with Pogba coming back, and with players now, just the dynamic of the team switching in that absence.
They get so much of their depth back.
Mm-hmm.
Where players that are starting and get exposed when they're on the field for 90 minutes can now come on for at most 45 minutes if somebody's playing just god-awful.
Get them
most
off.
Likely, 30-minute game. You can go all out. You're not conserving energy. You can show out.
That's how you dominate teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have a great starting 11 and go pretty far. You can do pretty well. But when you get to that stage of, okay, like, how are we going to take on Europe? How are we going to do in the Champions League? It's you get to that knockout stage by February, March. If you got some injuries, you're screwed.
So it's what Liverpool fans have been complaining about for the last God knows how long. Like, it just never really seems that they have an entire squad. It never really seems that they have more than one player that can come off the bench and fill in a role and deliver in a short amount of time.
Well, now you do have everyone's back now.
I think it's everybody but Klein, who just got back surgery. We're probably not going to see him this season.
No.
As soon as people start talking about backs,
screw it.
She's screwed.
Yep.
And I mean, the fact that he's getting a surgery now after about 4 or 5 months of dealing with this injury, I'm speculating that either he has a new injury or something went wrong when he was healing. When he was
the first couple times, yeah.
And that just can't be good. But yes, entire squad is back besides him. Lallana's back, who really makes that midfield tick. I'm really curious to see what our lineup looks like now.
What do you think?
I honestly don't know, because that we have front three has typically been Salah, Firmino, Mane, who's been lights out when they've been on. And then when Coutinho's been fit, he's been knocking somebody out of that midfield. It's either been Henderson was injured, Chan, or Wijnaldum. And that kind of works, because it's Coutinho's either bouncing between that attacking midfielder or that left wing. But now with everybody healthy, I mean, Lallana, like I just said, he thrives in that pressing system of the midfield. He links up so quickly. But do you go Coutinho and Lallana in the middle? And then, do you think that Chan holds it down?
The more I think of a 4-3-3, where you have a triangle in the middle with Lallana and Chan part of that bottom, and then you have Coutinho at the tip of that. Then you play Salah on the right, Mane on the left, and then Firmino in the middle.
You don't have three center backs, man.
You only need two. 4-3-3.
You want 4-3-3? Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it'd kind of be like that inverted style that Madrid was doing a while ago, when you just have one, like, when you have that one holding midfielder, two attacking, and it's just...
I think for you guys to pull that off, where all of your best players are playing, like, your best lineup,
yeah.
I think you have to have Lallana slide into a more box-to-box role, just because you don't have good center backs.
Yeah. That makes me really nervous, though, because I know that that's not where he thrives. And, I mean, him and Coutinho, just... Coutinho having that one more person that can really operate in those tight spaces, whereas
It's Friday, folks.
Love taking guys on the side, on the touch lines, and then cutting in, wreaking havoc, playing that ball back, and then getting a through ball in return. I really want them on the field at the same time, because then Firmino also has less work to do of misplacing these passes that drives you insane every week. I mean, you see his passing accuracy, and it's not great. It's
no.
Probably less than 80%, and it's infuriating that when he doesn't touch, like, when he doesn't even hit feet with Lallana in there, he has to do less of a job of pressing. He's going to be winning the ball back less, but he's still impacting the play. And then he can be going forward, where he really thrives.
Yeah, he needs to worry about scoring, not about creating the opportunities as much.
Or even when he is creating the opportunities, it's not... He doesn't do simple things well.
No.
I mean, he'll flick a ball over your head and play like a one-time pass in just fine. But if you're just playing one touch in the midfield, there's a very good chance that he's either hitting it to somebody else or he's hitting it out of play.
I think it's going to be... I think that whatever your game this weekend, in my head, who do you play? Is it
Southampton, who is open to inquiries to Virgil van Dijk this coming winter?
I think that you guys draw this weekend. Mostly because you're experimenting. This weekend, I think, is going to be an experiment for you. I think that you guys will have, like, it's going to be one of those things where you'll have 15 shots on target, no goals, or one goal, and they'll have, like, four and a goal. It's going to be that weekend because you're going to have to find a way to incorporate. Unless Klopp just says, no, we're going to stick with what we've been doing.
Which I would love if he was like, all right. And he's mentioned this. He said we have like 3 games every week for like the next month. We're in no rush to get Lallana back.
So like maybe it's a matter of just doing that. I don't know. Yeah, you said maybe don't rush it. Maybe just have it as.
I'm really hoping that Lallana comes on for 30 minutes.
That'd be nice.
That's ideal for me because it's either we're up and we're comfortable and get it out there, or hey man, they were talking about how he hasn't lost any of his touches and his vision's still there, which I don't believe because I don't believe that you can play without being rusty and practice isn't a game and all that.
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about before we get to Chelsea, I was thinking about when I was walking over here. Are you surprised? Because I'm actually kind of starting to get surprised that Klopp has stuck with a number 9 or a forward like Firmino looking to his days at Dortmund.
I'm surprised that... Well, I am. But then I look at... oh my God, who did you just sign from Chelsea?
Solanke.
You look at him, he's not a number 9.
Yeah.
Not at all. He's a pure target forward to me.
Yeah.
Much more than Firmino is. And I think that he might just use him as an alternative. I mean, maybe Klopp just saw what he was coming into and said, oh, like, I just need to change in the style that we play, and maybe now the number 9 is his go-to, and maybe that's it.
I'm surprised that, I mean, I know that we went for Lacazette, and that kind of fell through a couple times, and then we were just linked to him forever. I look at what he had there, and I know that's a different league and it's a different team, but that forward in the likes of Aubameyang and Lewandowski, where it's just, oh no, we have a guy that is going to bang in goals.
And he's our guy.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I guess there really aren't that many people just lying around, and you most likely have to develop him, and maybe Solanke turns into that person. I'm surprised that he's stuck with this.
Now that I think about it, actually, you don't see it that often in the Premier League with that. Now.
I don't know.
Aguero's not the same thing.
But what I'm saying is Aguero starts in the middle of a front three, and he scores a lot of goals. Does that. Harry Kane does that. Romelu Lukaku does that.
See, Lukaku, Harry Kane are my examples in my head. What do you see?
Could be doing that.
Could be. Those smaller, pacey strikers... I don't think of as the same way as the strikers that Klopp used to have. You had Aubameyang, obviously Paisley, but he's 6'2".
Yeah.
Same with Lewandowski, Harry Kane, Lukaku. Mm-hmm. Those are target forwards.
Like that's such like a disservice to them, though. I mean, Andy Carroll's a target forward.
Yeah.
Just something that I was thinking about. Maybe he thinks Solanke is that dude. I've been happy with what I've seen. I don't think that Origi's out on loan. I'd like him back. He's doing very well at Wolfsburg, but I think that he really is more of that outside forward type. Tons of pace. Has a good cross. I don't know. We'll see.
I think your team in the next couple of years is an interesting one to watch.
Yeah. Like, it really depends on...
For the better or for the worse. But, like, I think that you have so much more potential for the better as compared to recent years.
Do you think that soccer teams overvalue having a consistent squad?
Overvalue?
Yeah.
I think they talk about it too much. But I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think having a consistent squad is one of the hardest things to do.
Do you think that... Because just looking at Liverpool, I can think of a couple players. So I'm sorry, Jordan Henderson. You're going to get grilled right now. I think that the Jordan Henderson experiment's been going on for way too long.
Yes.
I don't think that he should be the captain. Correct. And I think that he's lucky to be in the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, we've been looking for a dominant midfielder, and somehow it's always been trying to make space around Henderson. That doesn't make any sense for me.
No, and for other teams such as Chelsea... Where you have, so you're growing in the sense, developing in the sense of attempting to get to that next level of either winning the league, getting far in the Champions League, something like that, mm-hmm. Or consistently finishing top four sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas a team like Chelsea has had recent success in the last, decade. in that we've won the Champions League, we've won the league a couple times. So for them, it's a different sort of need from a team's consistency standpoint. For us, it's we need to have consistent depth, and that depth needs to be full of players who can consistently play at a number of different levels. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, it's you're experimenting in a world that you haven't been in a couple of years. So it's a different sort of consistency that you need, but I think consistency nonetheless, I don't think could be overvalued. Unless that consistency fucking sucks. Unless you're at Jordan Henderson consistency, where it's like, okay, we're at like...
He shouldn't be starting, he shouldn't be the captain.
We're at like a 62 out of 100 with Jordan Henderson, but it's a 62 every week. Whereas
he shows out sometimes, I'll give it to him. But like, yeah. Some of his passing, some of his long passing is spectacular.
But yeah, it's... I don't know. And then Chelsea this weekend playing West Brom. I can't remember if it's home or away. Victor Moses and Batshuayi are injured still. I think Victor Moses has like another week. Kind of sucks.
He's been starting. He had a really strong start to the season.
Batshuayi?
No.
Victor Moses? Yeah, he's playing well. Christensen coming off an impressive international display. Like we said, his first international goal for Denmark in a World Cup qualifier nonetheless, which is sweet. Big for the confidence. So they'll be playing West Brom. West Brom's always a surprise team. They're really well structured on defense. And I think Chelsea takes this one. I think they should take this one. Speaking of consistency, Morata got a goal for Spain in their friendly the other day. He's looking pretty good. Azpilicueta, the two of them are clicking better than pretty much any other player combination in them. Maybe not any other, but the majority of player combos in the Prem this season. Azpilicueta and Morata have had that connection. So
Hazard's back too,
which is good. I think Chelsea. We keep talking about Man City, but it's a matter of at this point for those top four teams to just close in on Man City and put that pressure on them, which we haven't been able to do. So I think right now, Antonio Conte had a press conference, I think either yesterday or today or something when I was reading about it, and basically he was just like, when Man City are playing like this, it's impossible to catch them. So right now it's a matter of doing as best as we can and staying consistent in the league. So I think that this is a good opportunity, a West Brom team, especially with some injuries, some lingering issues in the team. Maybe this is the game where you put Drinkwater in, just to kind of give whoever is, like, Conte, he's been back for a while, or 2 weeks now, but nonetheless came off of a pretty decent injury. He's looking pretty good in practice from what I've been reading. So maybe this is that week where you only play him 60 minutes, put Drinkwater in, just to keep that level up.
And with the idea of needing to close that gap between the rest of the league and City. Man City, as a manager, you have to be worried that you're throwing a player in just a little too early or a little too long, and then he re-aggravates an injury, and then you're fucked.
Yep. Well, that's the last thing you wanted was when Gabriel Jesus had come back in the beginning of this season. The last thing you would have wanted is say, oh, look, we have an America tour or whatever our preseason tour is. Let's play him in every game, and then he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that. And I think Pep is one of those guys who definitely does. But Chelsea plays West Brom this week. I think Chelsea takes this one. I hope they do, unless it turns into like a first game of the year against Burnley, losing 3-1.
Yeah.
But
I'd be very surprised if you see that frailty in the back line. Also, Arsenal, Tottenham, 7:30 tomorrow.
Tottenham's going to win.
RIP Arsenal. RIP Arson.
I think Tottenham takes this one comfortably.
Yeah. I think if he plays Leicester, that might be a sneaky good game.
I think it's going to be like a 3 or 4-1 game. I think Arsenal gets one, but I think Man City gets like... They're just scoring goal machines, so...
Yeah. No, but thank God international break's over. Like we talked about last episode, Derby de la Roma, Lazio and Roma, Derby de Madrid.
Those are all games to pay attention to. We previewed them. Check out our Room Techers episode 3. We talked about them our last episode. Gave them a little bit of a preview, put them on the map, gave them a little bit of respect.
Respect.
Check those out. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. Go Dukes.
Go Dukes.
Go Dukes. Check us out. Share. Subscribe. Follow us on Twitter or check us out.
I wasn't lying about retweets, please.
Yeah, please, retweets are the best.
I have a family.
anything we can do to get on that new and featured on iTunes, check us out. Just Room Temp Show.
Guys,
and we're Room Techers episode 4. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Peace.